Well, this is something that I've been praying about in 2018. This year, I would like for us as a church to really dig into God's Word. If anything is going to change us, our families, our cities, our nations, its communities, it's when we as believers ingest this Word into our lives. So I hope that you'll be active in the Word on a daily basis. You might have to give up something in order to make some time in this Word, but I don't want us to think that one message a week is all that we need. There are several passages that we're going to be looking at in God's spoken Word, but the passage that jumped out at me is found in Psalm 119. So if you're not there already, make your way to Psalm 119. It looks like some of you are already there too. When I think of taking in God's Word on a daily basis, I think of the idea of taking a daily vitamin just once a week. That would seem kind of maybe silly. You have a daily vitamin, a multivitamin, and you only take it once a week. It's probably not going to be that effective. And I think the same way with God's Word as well, too. So each week we're going to post a Bible verse. As you see in the bulletin, it's the verse that will be part of our message this morning. That's going to be the kickoff verse. And each week, my challenge to you is just to have a short verse that's brief but easily memorizable too. I'll put in a kind of a short verse, so you know there's won't have the well. It's a too big of a verse. I don't really don't have time to memorize. So I'll have something short and brief there too. So, like I said, it's memorizable, but brief at the same time too. And that's going to be, so as a church together, we're going to be practicing hiding God's Word in our hearts. That's really our goal that's going to be. And as I mentioned, Psalm 119, that's going to be our kickoff verse there as well too. So you remember, as I mentioned before, in Wednesday nights when I first landed here, we did a study in all of Psalm 119. It's divided down into seven verses each, and it's each section has to do, you'll see there, like Alpha, Beth, Gimel, that's the Hebrew alphabet. So it's broken down in sections according to the Hebrew alphabet. And so, but the words in there, you see those words in there too. It's law, words, statutes, judgment, testimonies, commandments, and precepts. And all those words there have something to do with God speaking, God communicating. David realized that the commandments, the Torah, the mitzvah, and the prophets, he realized that they were critical in his life and in his essential in his walk with the Lord. In this particular passage, there's a clear result or consequence that happens if an action is taken. And if you do what the consequence is, then there's a purpose in hiding God's Word. And so in a case of the verse like this, to go back and look at it, in verse 11 there, I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so the action, of course, is storing up God's Word or doing something with God's Word where you're compartmentalizing it in your life. So specifically here, it's the heart. And the consequence of that is that somehow it's going to insulate us from sin. It's not going to make us perfect, but there's the purpose of storing up God's Word and compartmentalizing it, putting it some sort of a storage bin, so to speak, putting it up in the attic of your heart, that it's going to insulate us from the enemy that's out there. Not perfectly, but it does provide that insulation. So there's three things that I want us to focus on this morning as we look at this passage here too. The first thing is what we value. We value what we hide. The first point I want to make is we value what we hide, or we hide what we value. So there's, some time ago, this past week, I did a search on valuable treasures that were discovered. A lot of this stuff was like in Europe and England. And it's interesting that these treasures are not really called treasures. When a name is assigned to it, they're called hoards. It's kind of interesting. There's that's called the Curdale Hoard that was found in 1814 in Lancashire, England. It consisted of 8,600 Viking coins. Other items, it was worth $3.2 million. In 1992, when Peter Watling of Suffolk, England, he lost his hammer in an open field, he called a friend of his who had a metal detector. And so upon searching his hammer, he found a box, an oak chest of Roman Empire era, contained silver spoons, gold, jewelry, coins dating back to the 4th and 5th century, worth $3.8 million. And so if you see me anytime throwing hammers in the backyard out there, bring a metal detector, no telling what's back there. We'll discover something there too. But then that was called the Hoxne Hoard, worth $3.8 million. There's a television show I've watched when I've caught it. It's called Hoarding Buried Alive. It's kind of fascinating too. You have this concept of people that collect all these things that they assign value to, and then sometimes it's just garbage. They have this mistaken value in items too, and it occupies every corner of the house, bathroom, stairs, everything, and it makes the point unlivable. But when you see the Hebrew word here, it can be trans. This Hebrew word here, you see that Hebrew word there, hiding. You see that in verse 11 there. I have hid your word in my heart. That can very well be translated hoarding. And so when you see that image of people with floor-to-ceiling stacks of papers and just garage sale junk in every room in the house, this verse calls us to do the same thing with His Word. You have that image of just these people just collecting everything. God wants us to do that. As a matter of fact, you can say this passage, you can even translate this passage, your word have I hoarded in my heart. In fact, Strong's Concordance comments that the Hebrew word for hide, it's a primitive root, it means to hide by covering over, by implication, means to hoard or to reserve. So you can, when you look at that word hoarding, it communicates that same idea. You can take that verb and apply it to God's word. Now, it's not talking about hiding. When it talks about hiding, it's not talking about hiding something out of sport. Sometimes when we had to break them from pacifiers, well, Katie was. We may have had to hide. You may have done this too. May have had to hide pacifiers. It's not really talking about that, or even keeping a key in a hidden rock. We hide or hoard because it has value. So let me ask you a question. What are you hiding or hoarding in your heart today? What are you valuing in your heart today? Is God's word being pushed aside in your heart, out of your heart, so there's room for something that you value more? What is it that we're hoarding in our heart? What is it that we value in our heart? As you know, I go to this Bible study on Tuesday mornings, and we're talking about the scripture, and the comment was made about being, as I mentioned before, about being Christocentric as opposed to being anthropocentric. Remember, we talked about this as it relates to preaching, and that if we look at God's word, and if we understand it as a fix to our own lives, or something that's just going to help me, and then we think too much of ourselves as to what I need. If we think of God's word as something that's just going to fix me or help me with something, and we fail to be Christocentric. But the pathway to be Christocentric is to be bibliocentric. This word has to be central in our lives. We can't make the book valuable in certain moments of crisis. We can't treat this book as simple trivia. Sometimes, you know, we like the controversial aspect of the Bible. We like the trivial aspects of the Bible. But sometimes it just ends it that way. It just ends there. But we can't put the Bible aside too, because there are things that are are hard to understand. I hopefully you saw the email and you clicked on the link of the Bible, the guy that had committed to read the Bible up to Leviticus. Get to the second chapter and, you know, kind of peppers out there too. I don't want us to be that kind of person too. But, you know, so the question is asked there too is, you know, what do we value? We hide what we value, or we value the things that we hide. What are we valuing in our heart? That needs to be the first question that we need to be asking ourselves. What do we value? The second question I think we need to be asking ourselves too, or maybe just a statement of fact, valuing the word requires decluttering. Valuing the word requires decluttering. So before Joy and I, before we moved to Raleigh, we had to evaluate what was valuable to us and what wasn't valuable to us. We didn't have enough room here to store all of our stuff, and so we had to have a yard sale, put some things on Craigslist, gave some stuff away, gave some older furniture away, and hauled some stuff to the landfill. The verse here, it says, "In my heart I have hidden your word." What do you have to do to get rid in your heart to make room to hide his word? Why the heart? There's this idea here of a heart. Why didn't he say the mind? If anything else he could have said, why did he say the heart? Well, in the Bible mentions the heart about 1,000 times. In essence, this is what it says. The heart, that is a spiritual part of us where our emotions and our desires dwell. That was, when you talked about the heart in the Old Testament, that's where our inner being was. The heart, it's the home of the personal life. The heart is the seat of consciousness. In Genesis 8, it tells that the heart is wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? However, when you go to Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So when I think about that proverb there that says that commands us to guard our heart, I think of that there's that we hide the word in our heart and we have to guard the vault that it's hidden in. So I have to think of my heart, this my personal life, as a vault where I keep God's word. And I have to guard that vault from the enemy. The vault, the heart is a vault for this hoard of treasure that we have here in God's word. It's the process of salvation begins in the heart by believing, receiving the testimony of God. The spiritual life begins in the heart. It doesn't begin in the head. The spiritual life begins in the heart. So on this point, to ask another question too, do we need to have a cardio yard sale? What's in it that your heart that needs to be removed? And I'm talking about, you know, this hoarding TV show I watch, and sometimes they just bring in people that just come, and it just these giant commercial bins, they're just throwing stuff out there, throwing stuff away. And perhaps something that we need to do in our lives, if we're to truly hoard God's word in our lives, there's probably some things in our heart, in our lives, that we just need to have a cardio yard sale on. Things that we need to get rid of. Some things that we need to declutter and get out of our heart. If you think of your heart like a house, think of your heart like a house. You think, you know, you have different compartments in your heart. And you think of the pieces of furniture that represent what's important in your life. Sometimes, especially ladies, you have a house and you organize the house by what's important. If your heart was a house, what would be important in your life? What is it that you'd want people to see, and what's going in the closet? Perhaps as a way of another illustration, I think we've all played musical chairs. In our sometime in our lives too, we've all had our bumps and bruises and scrapes playing this game. We play this game strategically, finding the right chair at the right moment, and either pushing someone out of the way or getting in there as fast as you can when the music stops. And there's always one more player than there are chairs, and so it's critical that you grab the chair. I think every day in our heart, the seat of our emotions and conscience, we play this game of musical chairs. There's one chair, one heart, and the players are the Word and the world. And when the music stops, something is going to sit in that heart. Something is going to sit in the seat of that heart. When the music stops, it's either going to be the Word or it's going to be the world. What is it going to be in our lives? What's going to sit in our life? What are we going to hoard up in our lives today? Of course, the hidden Word is manifest in our lives. We all have heard the adage, too, you are what you eat. I like to think of it this way, too, you manifest what you hide. I don't know if that really makes sense. I've thought about that, too. Sometimes we hide something in our hearts. It commands us to hide its Word in our hearts, but it doesn't always mean we just kind of keep it to ourselves, that we don't tell people about it, too. Hiding whatever we hide in our hearts, we manifest to other people. That's something I think we need to be challenged in our thinking about as too. What are you manifesting around family, coworkers? Whatever you manifest, it's what's in your heart. If I'm hoarding God's Word in my heart, that's what I'm going to manifest in my life. There's going to be something about me that knows I'm in touch with the Word, that people will see that I'm in touch with the Word. But if you're manifesting anything else, if you're manifesting bitterness, resentfulness, lust, greed, if you're manifesting or if you're hiding those in your heart, if that is occupying your heart, it's going to come out. You may be able to cover it up for a short amount of time, but whatever you hide in your heart, whatever you're hoarding, whatever you're storing, whatever you're treasuring in your heart, it's going to come out. So that's just something to think about as well. Now, the third point is what we value, hopefully it's God's Word, what we value is going to protect us from the enemy. Growing up in Christian school, we not only had our pledge to the flag, but we also pledged to the Christian flag. And we also pledged to the Bible. I don't know who all said this, I'm thinking Joy and Rebecca, we said this, but maybe some of you, Lincoln may have, and Rachel may have made the pledge too. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I'll sing it in King James. Ephesians 6:7 says, and I think we kind of alluded to this in some reading, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul equates the sword of the Spirit with the Word of God. Now that word there in Ephesians 6:7, it talks about the Word of God. There's two words to describe the Bible. There's logos. That's pretty much the word that sums up the whole thing. I think Pastor Pete spent several months in John 1:1 with you. I won't do that. The logos was, the logos, that's, you know what that scripture is too. But the word here, there, it's rhema, R-H-E-M-E. I think there's a vacuum cleaner that kind of is close to that. Is that? Rumba, okay. Well, there is something close to that too. But there's two differences in this word. When you think of logos, it's kind of talks about the entirety of the Bible. But in Ephesians 6:7, when it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it's referring to individual scripture. In a sense, too, that it comes out of storage. The word there, there's a lot behind that word. And so it gives the idea, too, that I am taking something, an individual scripture, out of my storage, out of my hoard, so to speak, and I apply it to a specific circumstance. Now, some of us may do this. There's a story. Sometime a long time ago when Joy and I were living in High Point, she had a stash of cash hidden in an Armorall box that was in the freezer. And I don't know if it was the Arm & Hammer, or not Armorall, Arm & Hammer, baking soda box. Sorry about that. I see confusing looks on it, and I think, what did I say wrong? And so on the Arm & Hammer baking soda, she had kept a couple hundred dollars in there. And so I don't know what it was. I don't think we got rid of the refrigerator, but we cleaned it out. And Joy was like, oh, she thought it was so funny. I was like, are you kidding me? We lost money. It was a big difference in how we managed that too. But Joy was like laughing about it. And I was like, we lost that money. How could we have done that too? And some of you may do that. You may not keep a wad of cash or a hoard of cash in an Arm & Hammer box, but you may keep something in a sock drawer or someplace where nobody knows about. And so the time comes where something comes up where you need cash. You just may sneak in there behind your spouse's back and pull out that little bit of money and usually in a time of a crisis or an emergency. And that's what this word is using here too. When he talks about the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, it's pulling out a reserve, pulling scripture out of reserve, out of your hoard in your heart and using it for a specific moment. The Scottish pastor Thomas Guthrie said that the Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It is a guidebook for every road, a chart for every sea, a medicine for every malady, and a balm for every wound. Rob us of our Bible, and our sky has lost its son. Remember when Christ was being tempted in the wilderness, what did he quote to Satan during that time of temptation? He quoted Matthew 4:4, and I think it was Luke 4:4 as well too. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So just the daily getting to buy sustenance, that wasn't important to Christ. And along the same line, Job kind of had a similar thought too. In Job 23:12, he tells us, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than the portion of food. Wow. So what was more important to Jesus and Job was having the word in his heart was more important than food in the stomach. Think about that. What Job and Jesus said, it was more important to have the word in the heart than food in the stomach. Mission critical. The act of hiding God's word, it's not limited to memorizing Bible verses, but it extends to holistic living and devotion to the Lord. Psalms 1 tells us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful or scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates it on Sunday mornings. No, no, good. I'm glad some of you caught that. Good. It meditates it on what? Day and night. Every time when you look at the scripture, it talks about the Bible too. There is a daily routine with it. A daily routine. So my question, I've been asking a lot of questions this morning. My question is, are we a people of the Word? Are we going to be a people of this book? Are you and I going to have a passion for this Word? Because if we're not, we're going to be spiritually malnourished. And my hope that you'll just ask God to give you a revival or to revive your interest in this word. If you can't find the time, make the time. You may have to cut out a TV show. You may have to cut out and FaceTime on your phone. Or some of you have a digital Bible on your phone too. Instead of social media or games, you just may have to check out and pick a good translation and start reading it too. Joy and I, we went to Lifeway last night and, just kind of reminded, there's all kinds of Bibles. 30, 40 years ago, you can probably maybe find, I think it was just a King James Bible you can find in a bookstore. And, now there's study Bibles left and right. A lot of radio hosts in order to do a giveaway, they make a study, like MacArthur has a study. I think Phillips got a MacArthur Bible too. And David Jeremiah has a study Bible. I think Swindoll has a study Bible. There's such a market for Bibles nowadays. It's easy to download a Bible. We're looking at Bibles, and there's a family member we bought a Bible for. And there was two translations we were looking at too. And one of the translations, the one I read last year, the Holman, it's really called the Christian Standard Bible. I put it in my iPad, because I don't have any room in my little office for anything else too. So everything has to be digital for my sake too. But all that to say, it's very easy to have God's Word right at our fingertips. It's not something we have to leave at home. We can't take to the office, and it's right there for us. There's really not much of an excuse anymore not to have God's Word right with us. But the thing we have to ask ourselves too, what are you treasuring? Are you treasuring, storing, or hoarding in your hearts? What's occupying the space in our hearts? This past week, I've been to the attic in the parsonage, but I've never gone all the way down to the end of the house. If you come by at night, you'll see some lights now at the very end of the parsonage. I installed some lights. And so I thought about pulling the wiring through the inside of the house, just very at the end, pull it through the attic. And so I went to parts of that house I have never been before. It was me and the spiders. And so I had to make room, because it was all down, and I guess Pete and Pixie had just the old wall that was here before, all had it laid out there too to put stuff on too. But I had to make room for me to get by, to get down to the end of the house. And I think that's the one thing we need to be doing. We need to make room for this hoard that we have. And we may need to declutter some stuff in our lives too, and have a cardio yard sale to make room for this. What are we going to treasure? What are we going to store? What are we going to hide? Will you make room to declutter what's really important? Will you take a broom? And I had to take a stick and kind of get all the webs out of my way. It was such thick, it was like a haunted mansion movie. What are you going to do to declutter? What are some things you need to move out in your lives? And of course, will you make God's Word an everyday part of your life? That's really the challenge that we have for us this morning. Let's spend some time in prayer. Our Father, we see the importance. David realized it. Of storing up, of hoarding up, or treasuring, hiding, whatever we want to call it. Compartmentalizing it. Your Word in our lives. It says here that we store Your Word in our hearts, too, the most important aspect of our lives. Not the biological, physical heart, Father, but the central interest of our lives. And Father, the purpose of that is so we can be insulated from the enemy. No doubt that the enemy is active in our lives today, throwing roadblocks into our lives, placing things in our pathway, maybe even people that we love dearly that will cause us to sin. Lord, that we will hoard Your Word, that it will keep us from the enemy. I pray, Father, in 2019 that as a church we will be active in Your Word on a daily basis. We know there's some things that in Your Word that are hard to understand, hard to process. I pray that would not discourage us. I pray, Father, that we would strive every day. And if we miss a day, we'll make up for it to be in this Word from Genesis all the way to Revelations. Father, thank You for these dear people. hear stories of all the times of churches and pastors that struggle, that have hard times with their congregation. And Lord, thank you for this congregation, the kindness that they've shown Joy and I. Father, thank you for your spirit in our lives that resonates with us. And we can do all things through you. So, Father, I pray that your hand would be upon us. I pray, Father, that you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen.